This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Arizona Congressman John Shadegg, Republican from Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. And Congressman, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Glad to be with you.
We want to get his thoughts today, of course, on the president's press conference on Thursday, his visit to the Gulf Coast on Friday, and mainly what he had to say about energy policy, sir. Let's start with the six-month moratorium on offshore drilling when he had made the indication a number of weeks ago that he wanted to expand the number of leases, although many critics say that he really placed more areas off limits than he opened up. But what's your sense on the effectiveness of a six-month moratorium?
Well, Greg, I think there are a couple of points to be made. Number one, as I believe I've said on your show before, I believe his support of increased offshore drilling was a head fake to begin with. That is to say, that he had no intention of actually increasing offshore oil production. And I think you just mentioned that, where critics pointed out he put more areas off limits than new areas on within permissible areas. I think, in part, that's because of the structure of American law. While the government can release these leases and issue them, they don't become operative until they've been through the litigation process, because various environmental organizations, the most extreme in the country, file suit to block them. And I think we talked earlier about the fact that even under the Bush administration, every single oil lease issued off of Alaska was challenged immediately and went nowhere. So I don't think he really ever intended to actually increase offshore oil production. I think he was trying to get a bargaining chip in his cap and trade negotiations. That's kind of point one. Point two, I don't think the moratorium it was crafted with the intent of studying what has happened very carefully. We've been drilling offshore for a very long time. We have resources that are relatively close to shore in relatively shallow water. And then we have resources that are much, much further out, like those where this accident occurred. He did not put a moratorium on deep water drilling where this accident occurred and the consequences from it. What he did was put a moratorium on all offshore drilling. And I think that's a very broad sweep. It involves different technology. The cleanup or the correction of the problem is totally different, as we've all begun to see in this situation. So I'm not against acting prudently, but I don't think that this moratorium is prudent. And I think it follows up and raises a lot of questions about our ongoing energy policy in this country, which I've been critical of in the past.
Do you think, for the most part, Congressman, that most oil companies do have effective emergency plans in place, and this was just a unique circumstance where BP got caught flat-footed with a specific type of accident? Or is this an area that obviously needs a lot of scrutiny?
I'm not an expert in this particular company or this or drilling at this depth. However, I think it is true that BP, from what I can gather, has a history of safety violations and of compliance problems. And in this instance, I think it's kind of fascinating. The more the government fails in its responsibility, the more we decide to give it further responsibility. In this instance, there is ample evidence coming out that MMS, the Mineral and Mining Service, which was responsible for oversight here, to the extent that we trust the government to check the private sector and make sure it's doing its job, it's pretty clear that they had a number of very serious mistakes. Now, it may also turn out to be clear that BP or the actual operator of the rig made some very negligent decisions, which were rushing up production and putting safety to the side. But the kind of the point is, the government didn't protect us from this screw up, and so our response is to say, well, let's ask the government to protect us from the next screw up. And I think that's kind of a flawed model. When the government failed to respond to Hurricane Katrina properly, our answer was, well, let's give the government more responsibility. Now we learn that the government agency responsible for checking to be sure BP was doing this correctly screwed up, and our answer is, well, let's in fact empower the government to do even more.
Well, what's the solution then, Congressman? Just making sure that the government does the original job that it's tasked with, or is there a better approach here?
Well, I think there are several approaches. Number one, we ought to be very aggressive ensuring that the government agencies we create are actually doing their jobs instead of creating more government agencies every single day and trusting that they can do more and more when we don't really have the resources to fund and operate correctly the government agencies we have now. That's kind of number one. Number two, we have to re-examine our energy policy. Part of the reason that we are drilling at this immense depth is because we've locked up so much onshore oil and said, well, we're not going to go after that for this reason or that reason. That's been a policy in this country for a long period of time. We're pushing oil exploration further and further out, and quite frankly, pushing it off to other countries on the theory that we cannot allow it here. The truth is there's lots of oil exploration and production that could be done in shallower water or that could be done in onshore, in places like Anwar, for example, where we know there are supplies, but we're choosing to do it in riskier environments. And I think that doesn't make sense.
A congressman, the president also on Thursday saying that this disaster in the Gulf was just another reason why Republicans and Democrats need to come together and basically get behind the existing cap and trade legislation. What did you make of his use of this disaster to push that legislation? And what's your sense on what kind of traction it has right now?
Well, you know, Rahm Emanuel, who served with me here in the House and who has written a book which makes it clear that he's not exactly a nice guy and he doesn't play softball, famously said, never let a disaster go to waste. I think this is the president trying to use this incident to advance his political agenda. And I think the American people are smarter than that. Cap and trade is supposed to be a policy to deal with the issue of global warming. It does not. It has no obvious connection to this incident offshore, and I think the president's just trying to get whatever political gain he can get out of it. I also think he wants to divert the attention from the fact that his administration appears to have been quite slow in responding to a number of the requests from the people in the area to try to do what they can to clean the area up. It's very clear from talking to the congressman who represent, for example, Louisiana, that they've been begging the White House to give approval to take some steps to protect the shore, and they're being told, well, no, we can't get you an answer, or we can't get you an answer until we do an environmental impact statement on an effort to stop environmental damage. It's kind of insane.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, great to have you. Thanks for your insight.
My pleasure.
Arizona Congressman John Shattuck represents his state's 3rd Congressional District. He sits on the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.